It's time for JT the Brick.
Football season is finally here.
Old-fashioned, hard-nosed football.
JT, how about that performance last night? We haven't seen that team look like that in forever.
Put the team first and played their ass off on Sunday.
The cream of the crop.
This is the place to come for Raiders.
We're getting the Raiders. We're getting this iconic brand. And I hope this city embraces it. I think they will.
Come to the Raiders and become infamous.
JT the Brick.
The Oakland Raiders select Josh Jacobs.
Under center, here comes Jacobs. Jumps, dives over the top, touchdown! Touchdown, Raiders!
Josh Jacobs, the beast, running up the middle.
I want to see more of that this year.
Raiders upset the Colts.
Believe me, the effort, the concentration, the details were there tonight. It gives us something to really build on.
And I'm just sick of losing.
This offense is going to be tough to stop.
You know, I got a real good feeling about all these players.
Raider Nation, unite!
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, hour number two of the show, JT coming off a Raiders win, and they're on the road. Not to New York. Well, they'll stay in New York, but they're playing in Jersey. The swamps of MetLife, formerly the Meadowlands, where I grew up as a kid, watching Lawrence Taylor wreak havoc. Excited to be here, courtesy of PT. Steph McKenzie's the voice of this show, so
she always
reminds you that we go to PT's for happy hour.
Love
from 5
PT's.
To 7,
yep.
From midnight to 2, the SG bar is where I always say let's go to lunch at the SG at the top of 215 in Flamingo. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
I know. Thank you for having me. And let me just tell you real quick, traffic update, if you're going like towards Charleston between Flamingo and Town Center,
okay.
Somebody buried their car in the rocks. Big crash, multi people just crashing into each other.
What's with the rain? Again, I moved away from the rain from back east to come to out west to California now here. When it rains, why historically does everyone become a really bad and more aggressive driver?
I think it's because we forget, right? You get in the car and you're like, yeah. I got to go somewhere, and you forget. And even if you slow down and you reduce your speeds, it's still so slick and we're not used to it. It happens, what, once a year? Once a year.
Yeah, and why does it always flood under the link? Why can we find a way? We're building a $2 billion stadium here,
right.
Which is going to have all the flood plan. Everything's going to be right. Why is that area? You've been here a long time. Whenever it rains, it floods right there, and they can never figure that out. Engineers can't figure that.
We're in the bowl.
I get that, but can't they redefine the bowl and fix it?
You would think that they would have done that before, but they can't. It happens all the time. Stormwatch 2019.
It's crazy. And, you know, when it happens, the flooding, you do so many PSAs, and on your show, you talk about how quickly flooding could happen. Have you ever been a part of that or anyone affected by that? Did you know?
I haven't, and I haven't even seen it, obviously, except on YouTubes or the videos and all that on TV. But this morning on Fox and McKenzie, someone went through it and flipped their car. Every time. It's like we could say it over and over, and we're like, oh, another PSA, and how do people not know? But it happens all the time.
You got the Charlie Benici blood drive, the turkeys, the giveaways, what you're doing with your charity work here at the station. Fill us in. I want to get to that because that's more important than Raiders talk. Tell me about that.
Well, Comp 92.3, the Rock Station, is teamed up with Three Square. They're doing food drives throughout Smith's. And then 97.1, The Point, we are doing our 19th year in turkey drive land. So we call it turkey hunting. And we have done some amazing work already in our first day. We had a $1,000 donation right out the bat. Left this morning from 5 to 9. And all of Smith's power was out the first hour and a half we were there. People stopped by and handed us cash. We had $500 before 9 o'clock.
What's it like when you hand out turkeys, food over the holidays, and you get a chance to see a family that desperately needed it, and they're so grateful?
I can't even put it in words, JT, because, you know, we have so much work behind the scenes. And I get to do Neon and Beyond, which runs on this station as well on Sundays. And every year when we do it, we get to talk to families that were helped the previous year and now are becoming volunteers or seeing what the organizations really do. It's so touching to see that because help works with people and individuals that want to get back on their feet, that want to get back into working. You know, things happen. They say paycheck away from being homeless. So think about that. And yeah, you're like, oh, maybe not me, but it can happen. You just don't know. Medical bills, someone tragically gets sick, a fall. You don't know. And it's everyday people, and it doesn't matter who they were, where they were in life, it happened to them.
Steph McKenzie joins us in studio. All right, we just had Janikowski on.
Oh,
your guy.
My guy.
Your
he
guy.
Lit the flame.
He lit the torch in memory of Al Davis. It was emotional. He told us a story about, you know, I was getting pictures because I was at the Las Vegas ballpark for the watch party.
Right.
By the way, that was fabulous.
Was it awesome?
Oh, it was fabulous to walk around that stadium. And it's there's a football game. Everybody's sitting on the grass or in those gorgeous seats, the mesh seating.
The Raider love.
The Raider love was there in full force. But I was getting pictures from buddies on the field and those who were taking pictures of Janikowski in the stands. It's just another example of Mark Davis bringing back someone special in this final year to kind of tie the history of Oakland on the move to Vegas.
Well, and I like that they still embrace him because, you know, I was a little hater when he left, too.
Yeah, you were not happy.
I was not happy about it at all. But to come back and he'll still be a Raider in my heart, someone that I'll always just admire so much. And to light the flame, to have that, that's the biggest thing when I was picking out seats or where I want to be in the stadium. I've got to be by that flame.
Yeah, you got to be there or got to be looking at it. And I said, I've been behind the scenes of what they're doing with that cauldron and how they're going to do it. It is going to be the spot for everybody to meet.
Yeah,
so when you say, hey, I'll meet you there at halftime or at the end of the third quarter, let's meet at the torch, it's going to be great to see what that looks like looking through the parasol window back at the Strip.
And one thing people always forget, because we live through media, we live through what we only see on TV or whatever you hear, right? And it gets blown out of proportion. We know that on so many levels. And you especially, getting to meet Al Davis and seeing him and hanging out and the whole organization. Al really had a spot for charities.
Mm-hmm.
He's big with veterans, the whole Raider organization, big with helping people, big with a Shade Tree organization.
Sure.
And he really wanted people to come together as a community and have a party. He was the party. And so I love that whole, everyone gets to hang out right there.
Raiders won 3 in a row now. They beat Cincinnati. They didn't cover the spread. It was a much closer game. They trailed early. They came back. But a couple of takeaways in that game. Carr ran for a touchdown.
Right.
And when he ran for it, how long have you and I been screaming, run, run, get outside the pocket. If there's nothing there, you know, don't run head first. Don't do anything crazy. He's been accused of handing the ball out and it fumbles through the end zone. He's done that. But when he scored at the goal line and it was physical, I think we're going to see more of that.
And did you think, I mean, when I saw that, I was like, the magic of watching him in the first 2 years, just coming out, you know, just guns blazing. And after that injury, he was a little reserved. And
no
I think
doubt.
that brought him up to that level of those first 2 years we saw him.
All right, I got a new guy for you, Mad Max. I got to set up the meeting. I'm going to set it up. I hung out with him in London. We did a podcast together. He's getting almost like a Raider tattoo every 2 weeks.
Right.
Which is interesting because he's a rookie and you don't know where you're going to play 2 years, 5 years, 10 years.
But that's one thing we keep saying. I love all these rookies. I know that whole story back there. But you feel like the camaraderie, like they want to stay, right? Everything going on in the world of sports. Oh, it's just a business. Oh, it's just this. I'm seeing all these players, especially obviously we're close to the Raider organization, wanting to stay. They want to play.
Yeah, he is one of those guys. Steph McKenzie joins us, Comp Point, in here in studio every other Wednesday. He is the bonus player in the draft. We knew that Josh Jacobs would be great, not good. Hoping that Cleveland Farrell becomes better because he was so great at Clemson with a couple of national championships. Trayvon Mullen from Clemson had the interception that ended the game. Great that he's playing. But Mad Max in the fourth round now is becoming, he was the AFC Player of the Week, not rookie. To get that is such a bonus in a rookie season. So the Raiders have a chance to have not only a great draft class, but maybe a couple of stars that could be in this league for years to come.
Big stars. Yeah. I like to see them emerge like this, and I like to see, I don't like to jinx it so much, right? I don't like to jinx it on all that. I love that we have the rookies. I love that they want to play. I love the tweet you put out this week about, you know, how the Raiders are surprising people on the trades behind the scenes each week doing things that people don't take notice of. We take notice of it. We see what's going on the shifting of the players,
mm-hmm.
and I really like to see that because these guys are coming out strong, and again, their heart is with the Raiders. They're not just, oh, I'm a football player, I'm just here to play. They're here to play for the organization.
One of the things I guessed right on, as I said early, is I thought some of the subs, because Max Crosby, when the season started, wasn't a starter, right? He wasn't a starting defensive end. Now he is. I thought some of the starters were better, the subs were better than the starters. So now Mullen, they trade Conley away. He was a starter. They bring in Mullen, who was a backup, and he's better. And what they're doing now is they're bringing in players and they're giving an opportunity to play, and they might have been better than the guys who started the season off. I think they're finding the perfect chemistry with the backups who are now starting, the players that they're signing mid-season,
right,
and then, of course, the veterans on this
and
team.
And that's such the good story that I think people aren't seeing, and I think you got to give kudos back to Gruden for finding the love with people, right? I mean, he's finding them. Josh Jacobs has a story that emerged with so many things. He loves that story. I mean, look at Incognito. Everyone was after him. Oh, he sucks. He's this. Great. He's not going to do anything. But, you know, that organization, Gruden all the way down, they're making them Raider players, not just football players.
Steph McKenzie in studio. Incognito needed to stay out of the media.
Right.
Because when the Real Sports feature came out on him and his depression and what happened to him and how he lost it, and that was a real story. He made a tragic mistake in his life after his father passed away, and he hit rock bottom. So the Raiders gave him an opportunity. We knew he had a 2-game suspension to start the season.
Right.
Haven't heard a peep out of him. Other than a couple of penalties, because he's prone to penalties,
right.
He's played great. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level. I love what he's doing. And then there's one other player that I got to give a lot of credit to. When you look at this team, Rodney Hudson got hurt
right.
at center. And I said to you, oh, this is big, because he is
the
quarterback's Derek Carr, but Rodney Hudson's the signal caller
right.
who sees the blitzes. Now that he's back, he's never looked better, and he's going to be big on this push.
Well, and that again goes back to that whole organization of making sure that not one player is a star player. And you see that when they're talking, they all work together, and I think that that has been a big thing for Gruden, for the organization, and I think that if anyone were to take away from that, let's get that in all levels of sports.
All right, I got to get your mojo on for your last game ever in Oakland.
Uh-oh.
And people are getting upset now, because if something crazy happens with Kansas City, and if something could, they're playing the
Patriots.
You're
a Chargers fan, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Absolutely. But if the Raiders win the AFC West, they host the home playoff game.
Correct.
So their last game would probably be the playoff game. If not, it's Jacksonville. You're going to Tennessee. And the Tennessee game in Oakland. That's going to be a great game, because the Raiders have to win it. So you're going to get a really great game, and they're playing an inferior team compared to them. So I think you're going to one of the last great tailgates in the history of Oakland. How's your mind? Are you blown away already before you go up there?
I am, and it's hard because there's so many other things going on in the world and here at Lotus and everything, and I'm like, am I going to cry? Am I not going to cry? Do I take tissue? How do I really feel about this? And am I going to overlook things that have upset me? And what am I going to take away from the memorabilia? That's my big thing. You know this.
Yeah, you want to steal stuff there. I'm not recommending that. I'm not recommending that you steal stuff.
Can we find another word besides steal? How about just
borrow?
Yeah.
But the crazy thing about the Coliseum now, there's really not a lot left. You know, over the years, a lot of the stuff that you would say, I'd want to grab that, or maybe you're going to get a program. I'll get you extra programs. And I think you want your program. A lot of people get a program on their seat in the club section, but depending on where you're sitting, go buy a program like you did as a little girl.
And the dirt.
And the dirt, as we talked about, and all of that. And then just stay after the game. What I'm noticing Raider fans are doing this year is, for the 20-plus years I've been going, when they win the game or they're losing at the end, everybody's racing out of there. For three reasons. One, they got to catch a flight.
Right.
B, they got to catch BART to get out of there in the bay. Or C, they want to go back and tailgate. They're not sitting in their seat taking it in. I think when you go, you'll be in your seat about 20 minutes after the game taking in the Coliseum.
It's funny because I had said that about the last game. I'm like, look at everyone rushing out. Like, take a deep breath. Take it in. I said the exact same thing. Just take it in a little bit, because it's not going to be there, and it comes and goes so quick. Did you think we'd be here? This came up quick.
This came up quick.
I feel like we're
quick.
Just talking about them breaking ground.
Well, not for me, because they threw me out of San Francisco. a radio station threw me out of San Francisco and used me as a punching bag, like I was the conspiracy theorist who knew they were coming. That's a podcast for a different day. Bobby wants us to talk about Motley Crue and this reunion, and I'm torn on this, because, not to date myself, but I was
on the
Sunset Strip with my buddies at the Rainbow when Motley Crue was breaking for the first time, and seeing Tommy at the bar and seeing Vince and the way he was behaving. I met Vince when he had the indoor football team here. That ended in a disaster.
Right.
A couple of my friends got screwed. And I have a lot of respect for Vince as a rock icon, but can he do it? Because some of the YouTube videos of him singing lately have been an embarrassment.
Okay, but what are you really focusing on? Are you focusing on the now? Are they going to prep themselves? This has been big. Are the PR people going to get behind him and go, hey, fatty, you need to lose some weight. And you need some... fine-tuning on that voice. You got to calm down the partying, you know? And I want it to be the arena rock. I want Poison. It's Poison, Def Leppard, and Motley Crue. If that comes to fruition, oh, forget it. Forget it.
Def Leppard's big because when I saw them at the joint and they did that residency, that was fantastic.
Absolutely.
And with Bobby, that was fantastic. And the Planet Hollywood set there too. I just don't know if Motley has it in him with Vince to knock out a tour with that voice.
I'll tell you what. I remember a long time ago in a galaxy far away where I went to see Motley Crue and Poison and the New York Dolls over at Red Rock, and you were sitting three rows behind me.
Yep.
And the best band of the night was the bleeping New York Dolls.
That's true.
That was 10 years ago.
Okay, so listen, but they're coming back and they're making a big deal about it. So, I mean, someone's got to get behind Vince and tell him. And I think that they're not going to make this big of a deal unless they are working with him.
Honey, they made a big deal about Phil Collins and the bleeping guy couldn't walk on the stage.
Yeah, true.
Ooh, Bobby breaking out some rock knowledge.
No, it's the truth. Look, I love Motley Crue. I've been a Motley guy since 1983. I can sing better than Vince Neil, and I can't carry a tune without a freaking handle.
Yes.
Come on now.
I just hope he's working on it, because if they're going to do an arena tour like that, then they got to step up their game. Well, yeah, but if they get booed, they're not going to get those tickets, right? And Aerosmith, I've been hearing great reviews about them this week. Uh-huh. Tons of people going. Had friends went last night. Had a listener this morning stop by. She's gone to like four shows, and everyone says they sound better than they've ever sounded before. So.
I went once, and I've been recommending it to everybody.
Yes.
It was that good of a show. The energy level was great. Right.
And so, I'm with you a little bit on Vince. I can't lie, because he was at the Cannery 2 months ago, and it was awful.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I hate to say that, but I have high hopes. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that it's good for
him. What's going on? I'm going to be off a little bit for Thanksgiving here, going back east. What do you got planned
for
the holiday?
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
I'm getting ready to go on a cruise, and I'm turning off.
Oh, no. I am going back to the bad weather. I have like a radar that's going to take me to the bad weather where I'm going back. You're going on a cruise?
To the Eastern Caribbean. It's going to be warm and nice, and I'm going to sit there and have the cabana boy bring me drinks all day long.
Yeah, all the things I've been lucky and blessed to do in my entire life. Traveled a whole bunch of different places around the world. I've never been on a cruise.
You haven't?
I can't believe it. And my wife hasn't been on one. The kids want to go on one. They're getting older now, 18 and 16, to go on those drinking cruises maybe when
they're
older.
Right, exactly. That's
but,
what they
you
want.
Know, it just was never my thing. I always went to the islands or went to places like that. So that's on deck. You don't get cabin fever? Do you like the open bar situation? Do you like laying out at the pool? What do you do with these
things? Well, first of all, I do get seasick, so I have to take the seasick patch. This is my fifth cruise. And when you do things like this, if you're able to go to, like, let's say you're going on a cruise to Jamaica and Cozumel, those kind of things, because you get to see it. And then if you like it, you could go back. But I think when you're doing the Caribbean, the islands are so little, like, you could get a little island fever. And I don't get cabin fever because it's so big and there's so many things to do. You can't even take in everything that they do.
Bobby, let's play the Flurry Save one more time. I want to get Steph's reaction. I know you were talking about it on your show this morning. Oh, everybody was talking about
before
it.
Before you get to that, I just have to tell you one thing. The niceness of the Vegas Golden fans has worn off. That's something for you to talk about.
You got something new for me? I got the nice people here on this show.
I as a Blackhawks fan last Wednesday, the first 2 years, everyone in Vegas was so nice. Last Wednesday, not so much. Little trash talking.
Did you wear gear?
Yeah, Blackhawked up. Do you know the story about why I'm a Blackhawks fan?
No.
My grandfather played in the 36-37 first Stanley Cup championships for the Blackhawks, and he also played for the Edmonton Maroons. So
here's why. You can never leave the Blackhawks because your DNA and your grandfather are there. I get that.
And it's funny because Vegas born, everyone nice. No. There wasn't a lot of niceness.
I mean, like profanity and no beer throwing,
nothing
like that.
Not like that, but sit down! And not like, hey, kid. And I was like, what is going on here? Where did all this meanness come from?
Did you have Steph McKenzie on the back of the jersey?
No.
You didn't have that on the back of the jersey?
No, I didn't.
Hey,
right?
Bobby, give me that Flurry save, please.
Leafs up ahead on the far side, and a shot. No! Rebound! Oh, a diving! Glove save by Flurry! He went airborne back to his left and saved the goal.
That was one of the great moments in the history of this city.
Yes.
For an individual moment. It wasn't in the Stanley Cup final. It didn't get a cup. I get it. But life's about individual moments.
Absolutely.
And if you have a career like Fleury, three cups already, that's going to add to his legacy and his ultimate highlight reel.
I thought it was beautiful. I watched the whole game from beginning to end last night. Those guys played very well last night. I liked to watch them last night.
Right,
they kept getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah,
that's what I'm liking about them.
All right. Brent, I'm going to leave you with something I want you to take on your cruise to think about. If the Raiders beat the Jets, they're in the playoffs.
Wait, can you go back to the beginning of that sentence?
Okay.
When the Raiders beat the Jets, go on.
If the Raiders beat the Jets, they're in. I'm not in the prediction business. I'm not a tout. I don't have a fake 900 number. I don't rip people off. If the Raiders beat the Jets, they're going to the playoffs as a wild card. If the Raiders lose to the Jets, it's going to be virtually impossible for them to get in. So for those who don't think it's a big one, and the Kansas City game's bigger, and Tennessee and Jacksonville, everybody's worried about beat the Jets, I think they're in. Lose to the Jets, they're going to need a football miracle to get in on the back end.
Yeah, but you know what happens all the time. You're jinxing it.
No, I wanted to give you something to think about on your cruise.
You
have your earbuds in with Motley Crue, and you're listening to Vince. Listening to Vince, master recorded from the 80s, sounding
right,
so
thank
good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in. Great to see you.
Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Go Raiders, man.
Happy
keep the
Thanksgiving
faith.
Thanksgiving to you. I don't know of a bigger authority on the Raiders in town because she was here before all of us. Right? You were here before all of us talking here. Raider Nation. So you deserve all the love you're going to get in years to come.
Thank you.
Steph McKenzie, everybody. George Sedano from ESPN LA is on deck.
How do you reconcile the fact that you pretty much moved the ball at will, but just weren't able to get the points?
Yeah, that's kind of been our deal all year, though, I feel like. In the Detroit game comes to mind between the 20s, and we scored 10 points. This game today, we moved it. Other than those two drives in the fourth quarter where our D got stops, and we really should have done something with it down there when we had it inside our 10 twice, but we just didn't get going.
Phillip Rivers, what a bad game. 4 interceptions is at the end of Phillip Rivers. We're brought to you by Alsco, the leading provider of rental services for floor mats, uniforms, restroom supplies. Bo and his team at Alsco can help you take the worry out of your textile rental needs. If you're looking to purchase or lease uniforms, linens, look sharp, make your business pop, call Bo at 702-639-1233. That's Alsco, 702-639-1233, and pop your business coming up. All right, getting off of his show, now jumping on mine, my longtime friend George Sedano. You see him on ESPN television. He's on the radio every day on ESPN LA. George, thanks again for coming on. Let's jump right into it. In one night, that game, is Phillip Rivers' career coming to an end with the Chargers?
I don't think it's necessarily just a one night, JT. I just think you look at the last two games, particularly the way they've ended, right? 7 interceptions in the last, basically, in the last two games, and the majority of them being in the second half. You're starting to see a guy who needs, I guess, a perfect surroundings, right, to make things work, because we're seeing a league now where defensive ends run like 4.44, 4.5 40s. And unless your offensive line is one of the better ones in the league, you got to have a guy who's mobile. And Phillip has certainly never been that. And his arm strength has seemed to wane a little bit over the years. It never was, you know, tremendous, even in his prime. So I think that you're starting to see that, right? Plus, the issue that his contract is coming up, it's all kind of coming together where people are like, you know, maybe it's time to call it quits and just move on from Phillip Rivers. And look, I saw the end of Dan Marino's career, okay? I got into this business at the end of Dan Marino's career. Dan Marino was my favorite player in the history of the NFL. I thought he was the best pure passer I've ever seen play the position. And at the end, it wasn't pretty. Now, he was dealing with multiple injuries, which I think really hurt him at the end. But he was also 37, much like Phillip Rivers. And it just didn't look right. And he threw a ton of picks that year. I think he threw like 19 picks. And Rivers is on pace for that, if not more. I remember Brett Favre at the end. That last year wasn't pretty. And it just doesn't really normally end like John Elway, right? Like, that's just not the norm in this sport.
George Sinano's our guest. George, was there talk on your show about Cam Newton? If it is Rivers, if Rivers goes out this way and the Chargers don't want him because it's a contract situation and it looks like he got old overnight and he's not playing well, is Cam the right choice to move the franchise into the Rams Stadium to sell tickets?
I do think that that would be the most prudent thing to do, because Cam is going to be on a little bit of a revenge tour. He wouldn't have played for, gosh, you know, a very long time at that point, almost a full season, a full year. And he's exactly what we're talking about. Now, he's got some mileage on it, too. I mean, it's not even just the foot injury that he's dealing with this year. He had a shoulder injury prior to that. I mean, he's had all sorts of stuff over the years, but he's so big and strong that he's been able to deal with it. And people forget that if you go back to last year, before the shoulder injury, those first seven games, he was playing at the same pace that he had when he won the MVP a number of years ago. So I just think that maybe if he gets himself right from a body standpoint, right, physically just gets himself in the right frame of mind, in the right shape, and just, you know, doesn't have to deal with the nagging injuries anymore, this layoff may help him with that, that he could be that kind of star attraction that you need in Los Angeles if he can play at the level we expect him to play, that could put the Chargers maybe in real contention for the AFC. This was a team last year, JT, that won a playoff game. And then, you know, went up against the New England Patriots and got destroyed. But the theory was going into this season was that they were going to, you know, maybe get themselves and vault themselves into the AFC Championship game, right? Like, if they could beat Kansas City, if they could get past New England this year with an aging Tom Brady, could this be the year? It certainly doesn't look like that now. But can Cam be the guy to do that? I think that if he's healthy, I think he gives them a better shot than Phillip Rivers.
George Sedano, ESPN Television, ESPN Radio in L.A. I love when you put out your power rankings for the NBA. Did you expect the Lakers to be on top? How impressed are you with the chemistry so far of the Lakers?
I've had them now back-to-back weeks, number one. They were number two in my first power rankings. But, yeah, they've been excellent. Look, I thought they'd be good on offense. And to be honest, they've just been pretty good on offense. Where they've been excellent is on defense, which is what I wasn't expecting at all. I thought that it would take a minute for them to gel on that side. Outside of Anthony Davis, there's not a ton of guys on that roster that you think are lockdown-type defenders. You know, Danny Green is probably the best transition defender we've ever had, maybe, but I don't look at him as a guy that is, you know, Kawhi Leonard or Paul George or a guy who's an eraser like a Klay Thompson type. He's very good. But his forte is basically in transition, which, look, let's face it, in today's NBA is an important asset to have. But the fact that LeBron James is playing defense in November, I mean, that's an incredible feat on its own. And you got to credit Frank Vogel, but really you got to credit Anthony Davis, who called him out in the preseason and said that he would hold him accountable on that side. And him and LeBron have had an excellent partnership to start the season, and we've yet to see them really scratch the surface on how good they can be on offense, because we haven't seen as many Anthony Davis, LeBron pick and rolls as I thought we'd see, which I thought would be the most destructive offensive play in all of the NBA this season. So yeah, the Lakers have certainly exceeded my expectations to this point. They have had a tougher schedule than I anticipated. On paper, it wasn't a tough schedule, but it's shown to be this season because teams like Phoenix has played better. Obviously, Miami is one of the better teams in the East. And who am I missing? Oh, Charlotte is in the playoff picture right now. I didn't expect those three teams to be as formidable as they are. So the Lakers' schedule that initially looked soft, JT, has been one of the, I think, top three or four as far as strength of schedule is concerned.
You got it, George. Thanks for coming on. I'll see you in a few weeks when I come to L.A. Thank you again.
You got it, JT, anytime.
Appreciate it. George Sedano, ESPN L.A. He does power rankings every week. They're pretty good. And the Lakers look dominant because LeBron is so healthy and strong, and he becomes the first player in NBA history to have a triple-double against every team. That's another great milestone. Remember, that's something Michael Jordan didn't do. And then he's going to break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time scoring record, something Michael Jordan didn't get close to. He's going to have more points in the playoffs than Michael Jordan ever had, more points an assist in the playoffs and regular season than Michael Jordan ever had. He's going to have every stat that matters in the history of basketball above and beyond Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan went undefeated and won every championship. He went 6-0. Tom Brady lost three Super Bowls. Okay, if you look at the Super Bowls that he lost, two to Eli Manning, one to Nick Foles, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Joe Montana won four and didn't lose. Doesn't it sound like Jordan? Jordan and Montana. We thought in our lifetime that they would be the greatest of all time. Tom Brady easily surpassed Joe Montana. Easily. Not even close now. Got everything Joe Montana. You think Joe Montana would have looked like, and I think Joe, I call Joe a friend. Joe wouldn't look like Tom Brady at 42. Tom Brady at 40-41 was as good as Joe Montana was when Joe was in his prime. Fact, not fiction. Look at the stats. Look at the Super Bowls. And what LeBron is doing, the one big thing he has in the argument going forward of greatest of all time over Jordan, is the fact that later in his career, as Jordan walked away and said, no mas, I'm done. I played for the Wizards, and I give him credit. He played in all the games for the Wizards. Kawhi Leonard can't do that. But Jordan was a shell of himself at the end. Look at the age today when Michael Jordan was the same age as LeBron. And watch and do the eyeball test, everybody. LeBron looks like he was made in a laboratory. He looks like he goes in every year and he has parts added to him. Muscles added to his muscles. That's part of his legacy. His legacy is his durability, his strength, and his ability to dominate late in life as an NBA player. Jordan couldn't do it. No one could. That's what's different with athletes today. They have better food, trainers, weights. They train in pools. They do different things. They're in these ISO chambers. They're getting all different types of treatment. They should be able to play longer. And maybe in the next 20 to 30 years when you start adding in load management, and a guy like Kawhi Leonard, instead of playing 82 games, only has to play 61 in the regular season, it makes a difference. It'll add another year or two to the longevity of these players. I knew the Lakers would be good this year, and everybody bought into the Clippers being great. But you never know when the Clippers are going to be playing. What night's Kawhi playing this week? I don't know. He's not going to play a back-to-back, I can tell you that. He's going to sit out the front or the second game of the back-to-back. And Paul George looks pretty good out of the gate. I'd give James Harden the MVP because he scores the most points. He's almost averaging 40. No one's even close to that, but I think LeBron James is a close second with Giannis. I want to quickly mention the Houston Astros. They're cheaters, and they're always going to be known as cheaters now going forward. The pressure on Rob Manfred now to penalize the Astros for getting caught red-handed for using technology to cheat, it's evident that the Astros are going to lose a bunch of money and draft picks. Astros owner Jim Crane has declined to comment on the Major League Baseball investigation into allegations of sign stealing. He knows that Rob Manfred is coming down hard. Here's the commissioner of baseball setting us all up for what will be a very harsh penalty.
Any allegation that relates to a rule violation that could affect the outcome of a game or games is the most serious matter. It relates to the integrity of the sport.
Manfred now has no choice. He has to come down with the hammer because everyone in the media is asking for it.
In terms of where we are, we have a very active, what is going to be a really, really thorough investigation ongoing. But beyond that, I can't tell you how close we are to done.
They just have to make sure that this never happens again because technology cheating, our technology is becoming more elaborate year in and year out. What is technology going to look like 5 years ago? The Red Sox with their Apple Watches, the Astros with the video monitor and the iPads in the dugout. You got to get rid of all the technology and clean up the sport.
People want the game played consistent with our rules and feel that it's important that we figure out exactly what happened here and take steps to make sure that it doesn't happen in the future by imposing appropriate discipline.
You know, baseball's been around a long time, and it will be around forever. In a matter of 20 to 30 years, they're trying to get rid of steroids, which changed the game more than anything in the history of the game. We've had scandals before. We've had slumps, highs and lows. Baseball changes. It's part of the fabric of America. But with steroids, it changed the stats and skewed them more than any time in the history of this country, including the war, when athletes, great baseball players, had to go out and fight for their country. And other inferior players stayed back who weren't able to do it for the right reasons, and they stayed back. But the stats skewed over the war. And with steroids, stats spiked to the point where records changed forever, and we'll never be able to fix it. All we can do is use asterisks. But now when it comes to technology, we're able to look at people's reputations and judge for ourselves what you think of other human beings. Once you're labeled a cheat, you could cheat on your taxes, cheat on your partner, cheat playing sports. It'll stay with you forever. One of the things we teach our kids, don't cheat. Look, if you're going to fail the test, call in sick, don't take it. We'll take it another day. Don't cheat. because it'll stay with you. You'll be known as a cheater. The Astros will be forever known as a cheating organization because of this, because they literally won a World Series by cheating. I cannot wait for the commissioner to come in and whack them. Don't know how big it's going to be. I think it's going to be most likely 2 to 3 years of draft picks. One big class or several years of taking away the first couple of rounds. But they're going to come down with the hammer. Coming up next, Lee Sterling will join us if you bet on sports. This is a treat because Lee gives you 3 games for free. So if you're going to the sports book and you're placing a bet, Lee Sterling is going to give you the winner against the spread of Ohio State, Penn State, the Ravens, Rams, and for free, the winner of the Patriots and the Cowboys, plus his game of the week, all next on the Las Vegas Sports Network.
Back to throw, Justin Fields. He looks and floats that one deep in the left side for Hill. Got into the 5, and he dances untouched into the end zone. K.J. Hill. 35-yard touchdown pass from Justin Fields to K.J. Hill.
Yeah, that's the Ohio State. Man, how do they look? Wow. If you look at some of the teams that are there, and we're always looking every day at the college football playoff poll, no big moves this week, just like the top three and Georgia at number 4, but I have a feeling something big is coming. Lee Sterling joins us every week from Paramount Sports, one of the most respected handicappers in his field. Lee, let's jump right in. Ohio State versus Penn State. Monster game here after Penn State lost at Minnesota. This is their chance to get back in it, and Ohio State has one goal. That's the national championship.
Yeah, and they have not even been tested this year. Even the best teams, when we go back into the 80s, 90s, even 20 years, the Nebraskas, the Miamis, when they won national titles and people were claiming these were some of the best teams in college football ever, they still had one or two games every year where they were tested and maybe came down to the final series or the final play. Penn State's going to be ready. James Franklin may be 1-4 straight up versus Ohio State, but he's 4-1 against the spread. And except for that one game where Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford threw 3 interceptions against Minnesota, he's thrown 22 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions. He's got a couple wide receivers in Hamler and Dotson. These two guys are averaging over 18 yards a reception. He even has a red zone threat in tight end Pat Fairmouth. This guy has 7 touchdowns in the red zone here. I think Justin Fields is great, but Penn State is going to disguise their defenses and coverages here. And Ohio State, 0-9 against the spread before Michigan. Make it 0-10. Ohio State holds on 34-27. Against Penn State.
Ohio State wins, but they do not cover the spread. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. I cannot wait to see the Ravens at L.A. to take on the Rams because of their young franchise after the move back to Baltimore. They haven't been out there in a spot like this with Lamar Jackson. I'm into photography, Lee. I like looking at the backdrop of the flame when it's lit up at night, even though it's a day game, when you see the beauty of Los Angeles in the background. How big of a signature moment would this be for Lamar Jackson if he runs wild against the Super Bowl defense of the Rams from last year? They still have Aaron Donald. They have Clay Matthews and a guy by the name of Jalen Ramsey who can shut everybody down on the edge. How do you see this game, Baltimore at the Rams?
You know, I don't think Lamar Jackson is going to be caught up in the moment. This kid's just having fun and doesn't even realize what's going on sometimes around him. And the Rams, something's wrong with this offense. I mean, you know, they're just not clicking on all cylinders, and it starts with their head coach, Sean McVay. I mean, some really strange play calling, not using Cooper Kupp 2 weeks ago, not using his star running back early enough until last week. Something's wrong. And even, you know, they're facing some quarterbacks, Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky, and they only split in those two games here. I just think that Lamar Jackson's too much for this defense here. You can't game plan for this kid. I like Baltimore, 37-24.
Looking at the total in that game, where you like it over the total, it opened up 49. Now it's down to 46.5. Anything you're hearing on the total move?
Well, usually I can figure out the totals and tell you why it's moving, but I have no idea. Maybe no one has any faith here in Sean McVay.
All right, let's move on. Lee Sterling joins us from Paramount Sport. There are so many games coming up, college and pro. You need an expert. You need a guy that does this for a living. You need an expert who really understands what it's like. And if you value your money, you need someone else who values it for you. That's Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports. Here we go. You selected it. New England, Dallas. What a big spot. I don't think that Jerry Jones has the confidence in his coaching staff to go in and out-coach New England. I believe that Jerry Jones is telling his coaching staff to open it up, but will that be smart against New England with the best secondary in all of football? New England opened up -7. It's now New England -6.5 at home.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, you've got Stephen Gilmore. You've got the McCourty brothers. I mean, these guys are thieves. I mean, they're waiting for a team like Dallas to come into their home field and try to do some damage against them. I mean, they're giving up just 11 points per game, 28 takeaways on the season, including 17 interceptions here. Kellen Moore, another offensive coordinator, just some curious calls. I mean, what he's been doing, I just don't get it. They need to establish the run. Yeah, they're 2-2 against the spread and straight up when facing teams are not rushing for more than 100 yards, but those two wins were against subpar teams. You want to beat the best, you got to run for at least 100 yards. You got to have balance here. And I mean, just look what Jeff Driscoll did to this Dallas defense. He put up 27 points last week. Can you imagine what Tom Brady's going to do? Tom Brady is going to light up Dallas's secondary. This is their Achilles heel. Is that secondary? They only have 4 interceptions on the season. Give me New England big, 37-21 over Dallas.
New England huge over Dallas. That's Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Lee, tell us how to get your game of the week. I know you're all in on this one. Georgia, Texas A&M. How do we get it?
Well, it feels like Texas A&M's been on a bye for a month. No news going on with them. They're just waiting in the bushes for this game here. They'll play between the hedges against Georgia, which is coming off a huge win, but a physical toll could have been paid in that game against Auburn. If you want to get Georgia, Texas A&M, just call right now. Toll free, 800-400-9741. How about this? Our big game record on releases, more than 40 units over the last 12 years, 41-17. 2 weeks ago, we hit Illinois outright, getting 2 touchdowns over Michigan State. Last week, Georgia over Auburn. I have a 45-unit release, 5 games, $97. It's available at ParamountSports.com.
I trust him. He's my friend, and he's made a lot of people money. ParamountSports.com. Lee Sterling. Have a good weekend, Lee.
Thanks, JT.
Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. He's a pro. He's a pro's pro. Great reputation, and he thinks that New England's going to destroy Dallas. Now, a lot of times, Bobby, I don't have enough brain cells left in me to get to the weekend, so I forget this, and then I'll see a game, and it'll hit, and then I'll get a text from Joe Lisi going, I told you on the show, and I'll go, what did Joe say? I forgot. That was Wednesday or Thursday. Same thing with Lee. They'll text me when their games hit, and when their games lose, they text me back too. And I get a lot more wins than I do losses. Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones on his radio show in Dallas told some interesting stories about Bill Belichick coming into this game. I thought this was worthy of a listen.
I'll never forget, I was skiing after our season was over, the Cowboys season was over, and I was renting skis for my grandkids, and there was a line, and I'm sitting in the back, somebody bumps up against me a few times, and I turn around, and there was this guy that I couldn't make of him because he had his ski stuff on and goggles and raised up, and it was Bill. And, of course, he had he no longer had a job. He had been with Cleveland, and they'd let him go up there. And he said, boy, listen, said, I can coach. Said, if you ever get an opportunity, don't forget about me. And I thought about that many times. You never know when you can find a great coach. You can find him in a ski checkout line sometime.
Can you imagine if Jerry Jones hired Bill Belichick?
we'd never have the Patriots. Never. They were non-existent, and we wouldn't have the Patriots. Belichick and Robert Kraft. Kraft deserves credit for that, especially when he agreed to be the Jets coach, then he broke up that deal to go to New England. It's an iconic moment, an important moment, more so, in the history of the NFL. And he talked about his team. They better play a great game if they're going to have any shot at the Patriots.
We've got to be at our very best. We need a turnover. We need to be on the positive end of the turnovers. If we can do that, as far as how we match up against New England, I think we can do some things on both sides of the ball.
Jerry Jones, remember, not only is he the owner, he's the general manager of the team. He's putting pressure on his team to go out to make the playoffs. He believes this is the first big step.
This isn't just my town against your town. It's obviously a big one for us in how we make our way to the playoffs.
When I talk X's and O's, it's with the Remy Martin XO, the House of Remy Martin, the official cognac of the JT the Brick Show. Thanks to Remy Martin, whenever you go to a restaurant, you could order off the Remy Martin menu in most high-end spots, most great restaurants like Charlie Palmer, Lavo, Bazaar Meat. Wherever you go, ask for the Remy Martin signature cocktail. I'm telling you, it'll change your life for the better. Way to go, Bobby. He got Sebastian Janikowski today. Big day. We appreciate that. Great show by everyone. Yes, Bobby.
One thing we really should mention, Toronto Maple Leafs fired their coach, Babcock, today.
Yes, thank you for telling me that. Our hockey fans need to know that Toronto lost here, taking on Las Vegas, and they fired their coach. I don't like to see anybody get fired, but he's had so much success. One thing about hockey coaches, they get fired, and they got a new big job waiting for them the next year and another great job in the city. But that was a big job for him with the Maple Leafs, no doubt about that, and a lot of it might have had to do with Fleury last night making the iconic save, the signature save moment in the young history of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Leafs up ahead on the far side, and a shot. No! Rebound! Oh, a diving! Glove save by Fleury! He went airborne, back to his left, and saved the goal!
Can't get enough of that. Thanks to all of our guests, including Sebastian Janikowski, George Sedano, Steph McKenzie, who came in studio, Lee Sterling. Tomorrow, I'm live from the MGM Grand. Excited to be down there for the fight. Deontay Wilder going up against Ortiz. And we have the Howie Long interview, which I can't wait for you to hear that. Two parts of the legendary Howie Long from the NFL on Fox. Have a great night, everybody. And thanks for listening to the Las Vegas Sports Network.
Have a good night, everybody. All right, take care.